C-168. Number 6A.
We were talking about John Dolly's matrix, which he gave us, and I want to develop that concept of the matrix which he gave through the succeeding decades up to now. That one matrix, which we called the Dolly matrix, consisted really of the intertwining of the four sides of the city, the four with the seven synonymous term, that is the intertwining of the four orders of the synonymous term with the four sides of the city, with Word, Christ, Christianity and Science, showing how every synonym order, you can hear the first category, the synonym order, how they reflect the Word, the Christ, Christianity and Science in themselves. So the second category of the four. At that time, a matrix was something very strange to us, very foreign to us, very new to us, and we first had to adapt ourselves and accustom ourselves to this matrix, because I guess I can speak that in a general way, we considered that matrix as if it were something per se. And not really realizing that the matrix is nothing per se, that the matrix is a representation, is a way of symbolizing something that is. So the matrix is not something as such in being, it is only another way of symbolizing something that has structure. That is something that we were not quite aware of at that time. John Dolly never talked about structure and structuralism, because even at that time in the whole world, really the question of structure and structuralism was foreign, was not something that was in the general atmosphere of the scientific thinkers in the world, and so we cannot blame him that he was not speaking about structure. When he was showing really the inner nature and relationship of the categories within a text, he was usually using the term the layout. So he was presenting the layout, say, of Samuel, or the layout of Matthew, or of Mark, or of Luke. He called it the layout. And left it at that, and we had taken that term also for a while. When John Dolly was no more here, and we were studying his fundamentals and training us in getting what he has presented, then one day, so to say by accident, and it's never accident, it's always the divine plan, I suddenly began to realize that with the tonality that I had within my consciousness, I could easily decode the textbook, every chapter of the textbook. So what you have now in the Epitome book, which has been issued only a few years ago, I have seen 30 years ago, and I have decoded the textbook in the way as you have it today. When I decoded that and was constantly talking about the layout of the chapter on prayer, the layout of the chapter on atonement and Eucharist, and so on, I then felt after 2 years or so, I would like to write a book on it, and I wrote that book on it, on the structure, on the Christian Science textbook. At that very point, I began to use the term structure without being aware, really, what structure and structuralism meant. Because at that time, even in the world of sciences, structure and structuralism was unknown. You know how it is when an author writes a book. he writes the book, and when he has finished it and feels, now I have written what I want to write, then comes the great difficulty of finding the title for the book. It is not so that one has a title and then one writes about the title a whole book. It's usually the other way around. And I was sitting there and I was thinking, what on earth shall I call this book? And then I was thinking, well, that book has actually two missions. Namely, it was showing the way in which we can start from the beginning with a little desire and the right desire on page one of the textbook, and that the textbook would lead us chapter by chapter to the last point, or to Apocalypse, where he shows the four-sided city, the city four square. And so I felt it is showing a way of understanding. And I felt it's even more than a way of understanding, it's a way of life. It's actually showing how I can go the way of life. Jesus always was talking about the way of life and that we should follow that way of life. And I felt here now, in the scientific age, Mrs. Eddy has presented a linear sequence of where to start with prayer, and the first page of prayer, with a true desire, and that if we have that true desire, that then we are triggered off on a long journey right through the whole textbook if we are faithful to what we take in, and finally come to that new Jerusalem, to the holy city. So I felt it is actually a way of life. And so perhaps at the first I thought I call it the textbook, Our Way of Life. And then when I saw, well, what I have actually done was not only to show the inner structure, that the inner line of development that flows from one chapter to the next, but could also see that actually the textbook with these 16 chapters is depicting a matrix of 4x4. Four chapters on the world, four chapters on the Christ, four chapters Christianity, four chapters on science, and each four was subdivided by having the reflection of the other sides, so that it was a 4x4 matrix. And first of all I saw, oh, there are other matrices, then really John Dolly's matrix, that was one thing. But the most important thing is that I said, well, I can't call it a matrix. What I've really found is something different than the linear procedure that I found, so to say, the isness state of things. I could see that these chapters, each one, are facts in being, that the second chapter is not produced by the first chapter, and the third not produced by the second chapter, so that I could see they are. I can also look at the same text and the same textbook, not in a linear developing way, but in a structural way, in a matrix way, which is right here, which has no chronological sequence. And the term that flowed into my consciousness was structure. And so I called that book The Structure of the Christian Science Textbook. And then I felt, but then something is missing. So I made a subtitle, The Way of Life, Our Way of Life. So that I combined in the title, really, that which we had been considering up to that point, namely the ordered unfoldment of an idea, and now combined with it also the matrix form of being, and show it as a structure. I called it structure, not knowing really what structure meant. It just flowed into my consciousness, and only very, very long afterwards, in the 60s, I began to investigate, or it happened that I was coming into contact with structure and structuralism by reading some books, especially in the 60s, and I was seeing that in the whole world, actually in every science, they began to see that the linear representation of a subject is too small, that actually one should see everything in its structure. Because a linear representation has a beginning and an end, and therefore is always limited to that cause and effect law. Whereas a science is always what it is, it does not need to be produced, it does not need to be created, it is what it is, and therefore should be seen as a state of factuality. So only then I began to investigate what meant structure and structuralism. And when I did that, so much opened up for its application to our subject. Therefore, I would first quickly read to you what structure and structuralism means, though you have that in your study aid on page 115. So you can just make a note, and you will have this definition that I read to you. You don't try to note it and to write it down. What is structure? Webster defines it as the interrelationship of parts as dominated by the general character of the whole. This is a very short and very good definition. It shows that we have to do with parts. Second, that these parts are interrelated, that there must be relationships between the parts. But not only that, that could give a system, but not only that, but that they are governed or dominated, third, by the general character of the whole, meaning that in every part the whole is reflected, so that the parts are not isolated parts that can stand by itself, that have a value by itself, or that have a full value by itself. Now, our education has been that if we take parts and add parts to parts and have an agglomerate of parts, that we have a heap of these parts, and the more we add to it and heap up, the greater is the heap and the more we have. This is a very old concept today, because today we have a different concept, namely that of structure, which says, no, a structure, the whole, is important, and the whole is not the summary of the parts, it is the parts plus the relationship between the parts. So the whole is much bigger than the sum of its parts, because to the parts are added the relationships. And so relationships become much more important than the parts itself. I take another definition to get it right. Professor Wieser, he is a well-known cybernetician, defines structure like this. He says, structures appear wherever elements, you have again elements, combine, again you have relationship, into a meaningful whole. Again you have the whole, but that whole must be meaningful, not just a heap of isolated parts that have no relationship for a purpose. Can you see, many, many things are involved in the definition, so that they combine in a meaningful whole whose arrangement follow, he takes in another element, follow definite laws. So again, we can see that a structure or a whole is something that has to do, first of all, always with the whole, that always whatever we investigate must be within the whole. Second, that the parts within the whole must have relationship. And furthermore, that those relationships are governed by definite laws and not just in a random, haphazard way. So that what we usually have in a lesson sermon is not the structure. It is just taking sentences and verses out of the whole text and picking them out, isolating them, and putting them together again in another way, so as they are no more representing the textbook as a whole, but they are then representing that which the compiler of the lesson sermon had in view. And that is no more God, that is no more the revelation of God. So, from structure, then, once that has been seen in the world, arose a new science of structure, which is called structuralism. And structuralism is defined like this, and brings in something very interesting, something that we have done long before we knew about structuralism. This definition that I give here are from books and articles that were written around about the end of the 60s, when we had already seen what structuralism actually means. Namely, one definition, a short one first to start out, means a method of procedure. It's a method of procedure which transforms. Now comes the term transforms in, and you will hear that that reappears and reappears, which transforms every problem into a structural problem. This is the structuralism. That says structuralism is showing as a fact about atomistic thinking that we must transform every problem first into a structural problem. This is what we see very much today in ecology, that every problem that we have in ecology, in pollution of the air, of the water, or whatever it is, cannot be handled as such. We cannot take the pollution of the air and say, how can we depollute it? How can we make it clean again, or the water, how to clean again, without really going to the whole environment and say, what part does that play within the whole? So this is quite a new method of tackling with a problem. I compare it now with the classical method, and up to that time when we had a problem, the classical scientist said, I take that problem and analyze it until I have found out all the elements that are involved in that problem. That was the method of analysis. Now, structuralism goes the opposite way. It says, I have a problem. This is a local problem. Now, the structuralists ask, what part of a bigger set of a bigger problem, can I say, what part does that problem play within a bigger frame of reference? Instead of analyzing the part into its atomistic detail, we take that problem and say, this problem could only arise because it is under the control of a much bigger frame of reference, which apparently has not been seen rightly. That's why it has become a problem. So we must see really the bigger frame of reference and see that we have to change the bigger frame of reference in order to solve that problem. Did I put that clearly? Yes. And this is the very first thing. So Professor Amar says, well, structuralism is to take that method of procedure, it takes the problem and first transforms it into a structural problem and not in an analytical, through an analytical method. Now, that's one point. Now, let's see what Jean Piaget, that well-known professor, is saying about structuralism. He says, a structure is a system of transformations. Well, if we look at that, we feel, I don't know what that means at first, that a structure is a system of transformations. Funny enough, we have done that over 20 years before we read this definition. We have done that over and over. Our main work was geared to that structuralism, which took a system and transformed it constantly into other structure. How? For the moment, let's leave that question as a how and go a little bit further and then come back to it. Piaget goes on and says, these transformations involve laws. So again comes in that it needs laws. And you see, they are all scientific tools that he uses here. Then he says, the structure is preserved or even enriched, that's necessary, by the interplay of its transformation laws. It's still perhaps Chinese to you, or double Dutch, or whatever you say. See? But they are simple statements. You can keep them. And when I explain it to you, you say, oh, golly, that is what we have been doing all the time. Now, just keep in view, structuralism has to do with taking a problem and putting it to a bigger frame of reference, into a matrix, for instance. Second, we see that the structure has to do with a system of transformation. Something must be transformed. We don't know yet how to transform it and what is transformed. Furthermore, he says that transformation must be according to laws. So we see we need to know laws of transformation. And then he says, now I give you the key ideas of structuralism. And he has three key ideas which we can also remember. He says the key ideas are first the idea of wholeness. So you have again a support of that definition of structure, that it has to do always with the whole, where every part is characterized through the whole and reflects in some way the characteristic character of the whole. So the idea of wholeness, and you somehow already hear it must have to do with that idea of the oneness of being in the last reasoning. And you hear again that somehow that what Bicknell, Young and John Dolly right at the beginning of 1910 have felt there is one being and didn't know what the content of that one being is, that began now to find its resolution. Can you hear? That it is really the idea of wholeness. Within that idea, second, the idea of transformation. Something is going on and on. It's not static. You can transform the whole constantly without adding a new element. The whole is whole. It never becomes more than whole. So within the whole are elements that you can transform, like in a kaleidoscope. You transform them. Every time you transform them, you get something new, a new structure. A kaleidoscope is a wonderful symbol for that structuralism. And third, the idea of self-regulation. My word, Does that already sound in us something that says the only thing that is ever going on is the divine principle and its infinite idea, and that nothing goes on but the infinite principle and its infinite idea? And you get the sense of going on, of an inner dynamic that is within that whole. So within that whole, you have first the laws of transformation of what is in the whole, and furthermore, the dynamic laws that are really ruling within that law. This last point I will not touch right now. I reserve that for the next main subject that I'm going to talk about, that idea of self-regulation. That I leave out for the moment. And just go back now to what the others have said. I just said structuralism means that we transform every problem first into a bigger frame of reference and transform it this way into a structural problem. We don't say this problem and this problem is really a problem. We concentrate and are hypnotized to that problem and try to analyze it until the last bit. In contrary, we take and say, what is it? It is something that happens within the framework of a whole. Now, what is our framework of the whole? That is what John Dolly has given us. He has given us the framework. He has given us those three great categories of being. He went out from the one being, that there is only one being, in 1914. Then he began to see over the next 40 years, so to say, the categories of being, the three great categories of being, that were ordering everything in that one being. And now he began to show the interrelationships of those categories that could be symbolized, say, through the matrix, where one category with another category of being was interwoven. So he showed really the system that was at work, taking one category with another category, forming a system. And then, when he has shown that and called it a matrix, and he left us at that point, then we began to see that there are laws of transformations. We could see that without really being aware of it for a long time. For about 15 years, we were not aware of it. That's what we did. What did we do?